This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive. It's alive.
Groovy.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Oh the Horror. I'm your host Rob Holmes,
and I'm Steve Allman.
And today we are going to talk about the 2014 horror film Clown, directed by John Watts.
Yes, John Watts. We should actually say before we mention it, just directed a Marvel film, Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Really, and I enjoyed a lot. Yeah,
An enjoyable, nice, fun Marvel movie. But yeah, so coming up from the accolades of Cop Car and this.
Yeah, I mean, he really is good about working with like kids.
Yeah.
And I think Clown was like a good example of that. I mean, granted, he's killing most of them.
Sure.
In this film.
But
hey.
he gets good work out of them.
Oh, yeah, he does.
I'll say that.
It's very effective.
Yes. So Clown, an interesting bit of a turn from Cop Car, because I have seen Cop Car, and yeah. I liked Cop Car quite a bit,
yeah.
Actually. Clown, I feel like it's disguising itself a bit as a horror film, in a weird way.
Yeah.
I feel like it wants to be... I kept thinking that it wanted to say something more, and didn't quite get there.
To me, I feel like this was going back to like a good old transformation horror film.
Sure, like body horror, Cronenberg type
of
stuff.
Yeah, very body horror. And I don't really see it as going much further than that. I mean, I think the part that goes further is that the idea of a clown being called Clone and being a demon instead was really the message that he was pushing out there of, hey man, so things that we normally take for granted as being like, oh, it's a clown, it's fun, they have some sort of really fucked up backstory, where it turns out it's all demons and shit, very grim fairy tales, as far as like, yeah, nothing is fun and happy as we always assume it to be.
Right, and this movie, in a weird way, like, I told you before, like, I felt like it wanted to do this, like, sort of transformation like The Fly did.
Sure, yeah,
but
yeah.
It also tried to add a bit more drama or tacked on meaning to it
It deals with family. I think that's where a lot of that lies, because you want to see him saved, right? Because he's mm-hmm. got, you know, he's got a wife, he's got a kid, and he's an innocent guy. Like, he's a nice... normal dude. You get introduced to him in the beginning and he's just a father who's, yeah, he's not always there for his family because he's trying to make money so they can survive. But what I enjoyed about this film, just delving right into it, is its brisk pace. There have been films that I've seen where they try to throw in so much to explain in the first 20 minutes of the film.
Or it waxes poetic about some sort of, like, again, like, meaning. And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not saying that this movie does wax poetic trying to be either artistic or sentimental, but I felt like there was something clearly being hinted at that we weren't exactly getting. But
he gets right to the point right off the bat. So instead of wasting any time, which a lot of films will probably take...
Of the, like, what's this? I am changing kind of a thing.
But I could have seen this taking 30 to 40 minutes for him just to get the costume on.
Right.
Like, there are movies where it's all about that. But the first 30 minutes is getting to know the character as a person and delving into this and that.
Yeah.
John Watts is so effective as a director. Within 5 minutes, I know a shit ton about this guy.
Right.
I know so much about him, and within 5 minutes, he's wearing that costume.
Mm-hmm.
So you know about him as a father. You get to see how the family interacts. It's very realistic conversation that would really go on in this type of situation. And you know, man, this guy's... Okay, the clown didn't come. He's got to find something. Oh, he found this costume. Great, this is where we delve into it. And then we kind of go back and start piecing together, like, where did the costume really come from? Whose house is this really that he was, you know?
Because
he's a realtor and selling the houses.
Exactly.
And stuff. So then he shows up to the party, and, you know, it's a little goofy that he keeps wearing the make. You know, you see him the next day, and he hasn't taken any of the stuff off. or tried to at least. But that kind of makes sense, you know, if he lives such this fast-paced lifestyle that we see right in the beginning of having to work 24/7. Like, he's inundated with work, not enough time to spend with his family.
Right.
He doesn't care that he looks like an idiot, like, the next day because he has to get shit done. And it's only about, you know, like 15, 20 minutes into the film that we're finding out this costume doesn't come off.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, how are they going to keep this going for another hour and 20 minutes?
Exactly, because like I could see pace-wise in my head that like this could easily run out of steam pretty quickly.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But the pacing of the film, the pacing and the structure of the film deviate from what we traditionally expect from a horror film. We expect in a lot of these to be, at least the way that I grew up on a lot of horror films was like a 45-45 approach, and we've talked about this a few times, where it's 45 minutes of exposition to get to know all the characters, and then
set up the world, set up the rules, set up the things.
Something is basically the tipping point where all the crazy shit starts happening. And while this film kind of does that a little bit, it definitely sets up to a point where it hits a peak, and then
right.
It does tip to the, okay, this guy has fully become this clown now. Mm-hmm. There's enough twists and turns and enough, like...
And then we have, like, that wild card 15 minutes of, like, we don't really know.
And then there's... But some of that really is cool. Like, I was thrown a lot of times while watching this film, but I was never bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it the entire way through.
I'll say this. I was more or less fascinated by the quality of actors actually that he got for this, because it's actually incredibly well acted.
It's great.
But again, I think the efficiency with the way the story was getting made, and then that wild card 15 minutes near the end, like I liked it, but I don't feel like it didn't seem bold enough for me, but then it was bold in other areas where I was like, wow, this is where it's going? Okay.
Well, the fact that in order to get this clown outfit off, there's a few ways to do it, because we find out the one guy's like...
You can't remove the nose at all.
Oh, my God. That was... I'd seen the clip for this a long time ago, too. This was a movie that was long delayed. Let's throw that out there. Yeah. This movie was delayed. He based it off a short he did in the... I think like 2010, 2011 or something, and then made the film, and it sat on the shelf for a couple of years, and then it did a festival run in 2014, didn't come out, I think until
Eli Roth picked it up then?
Yeah, and then it didn't come out until 2016, actually on like, you know, video on demand.
Right, in an actual release. So very long delayed.
Very long delay, Which was strange for it. I guess there was just issues with it coming out. Plus the fact that they kill a lot of kids in this film.
That's a bit of a tough sell.
Well, I didn't know if they were going to go there fully. So he goes and he bites off the one kid's fingers or whatever.
Yeah.
Which alone was, holy shit.
Pretty out there.
But then that little kid who thinks that when... So the guy finally has come to terms that he just wants to kill himself so he doesn't kill all these kids, because he can feel the hunger of, like, he has to eat children.
Mm-hmm.
So he sets up these two circular saws so when he tips back, it'll cut his head off. And I'm like, all right, dude.
That's elaborate.
That's super elaborate and crazy, but why not? And then this little kid... And they kind of subverted a little bit with, you see the woman opening the door and you think it's going to be her opening it to him, and it's the little kid, and he's like, hey, falls back, saw blades hit, break, and you just see, and it's such an effective moment, you just see a bloody chunk of the saw blade hit the door jamb for where that kid was standing.
Yeah.
And the way it pans back and you just see the kid's back and a bloody hole, and then the kid just falls.
Like, that's very well done.
That was the moment of the film where I just sat there, my jaw dropped a bit, and I'm like, oh, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, I can't believe they went there. They, you know, John Watts really wants to not push the limits or boundaries, but definitely subverts my expectations, because my expectations in this type of film is that they always pull back from that type of stuff.
Sure, or they try to make it into something that's either easy or something that's, I guess, more or less predictable.
A lot of the times they pull their punches.
Yeah.
When it comes to this type of stuff, they're like, we're not going to go that far, we're never going to do that type of stuff. I feel like he pulled the Chuck Russell in this, like in The Blob from 88, and was like, oh, there's a kid? Yeah, no, that kid's dead. That's where I really appreciate this film with being no holds barred, and the fact that it was a Chuck E. Cheese at the end, right? That they go into, where they're like trying to,
or the equivalent of a Chuck E. Cheese.
It was one of those things. I'm pretty sure it was a Chuck E. Cheese, and it had the name of it on there, and I'm like, man,
like the actual brand name,
the brand name was on.
Oh my god,
the brand name was on the brand name
was
on the building, and I'm like, man, this is not going well for you.
Unless, I mean, hey, Chuck E. Cheese will endure, as it always has.
I mean, I don't think they're doing great to begin with. So yeah,
whatever.
They're
doing well enough. They're not Toys R Us, all right? Let's take that clear.
That is true. But I think at this point, they were kind of like, maybe this will help the brand?
We're getting out there, like, that's for sure.
Well,
what's going to be scarier than Chuck E. Cheese and that animatronic band?
Of course,
what's going to be?
But the difference is you couldn't do... So this was filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do this in the U.S.,
like, most likely, no.
I could see Chuck E. Cheese in Canada being like, sure, especially if it's a franchise.
Sure.
But Chuck E. Cheese in the U.S. would be
oh,
like...
Oh, no, I mean, most
or its
places.
Or its equivalent would be like, yeah, no, you're not doing that. You're not murdering kids at a place for kids to play.
For kids to... Yeah, yeah, no.
The one kid's like, someone peed in here in the ball pit. And I'm like, oh, man, that ain't pee. That's definitely that kid's blood.
Yeah. No, and if... I mean, props to the PR manager that okayed all of that stuff for...
And
they clearly didn't look at the contract.
One thing I really liked was at the, like, when they go into that weird, trippy blacklight painting room, pretty much.
Yeah.
I was like, what part of a Chuck E. Cheese is this? I don't remember this shit.
That's why I was like, did I see that was a Chuck E. Cheese? Because I'm like, that's nowhere near a Chuck E. Like, there's no laser tag room.
No, it was... Oh, yeah, it was like a laser tag room.
Yeah, I think so.
It was one of those, like... Because I was like, what is this?
Why do you have this psychedelic...
I mean, it's good for a visual aesthetic for the film.
Yeah, it's a cool sequence.
I think it definitely makes it jump out. And that's a weird part of this film, is that some of it is very drab looking in the way it was filmed. It kind of has this very cool tone to it. Like, this could have been filmed by anyone as an indie film.
Right.
And then when it does hit its, like, crazy little set piece moments... you can definitely see like an intensity in the coloration or
intensity. The directing has a lot of, like, there was a lot of stifled energy, like a lot of holding back on the creative part of the director in a weird way.
At times.
Like, he neutered himself quite a bit, and then like he showed moments of just like being very like slapdash and crazy and fun and energetic.
I like how you said he neutered himself
in a weird way.
In a weird way. Yeah.
It felt like he was itching at the seams to kind of just go nuts with it.
Yeah.
And whenever the movie kind of did go out there, I'm like, okay, this is something weird and new. But then when it tries to dial back into like actual like movie pacing territory, right, I'm just like, okay.
Well, I think that's the difference, is that the world he created for this, the world in itself is the real world, which I understand that's why it has more of those cool tones, and it's filmed in Canada, and I find that when a lot of stuff is filmed in Canada, because it's like not in a lot, it's cloudier there, at least like what it seems, you know, with the weather and stuff, there always seems to be this kind of like grayish hue to anything that's filmed outside.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of like the way Final Destination 2 was filmed, because that's another one that's done in Canada.
It's a bit of that overcasty, kind of like gray, generic-ish city.
It's like that Vancouver look.
Yeah.
You know? And I like it. I think it's a cool look. But then it gives that, in this especially, it gives it that grounded, realistic. Like, oh, these are the suburbs. This is how it is. But then you get this, like, the second that the clown is introduced... And it starts to, the more it's introduced, the more it transforms, the world around it seems to transform a bit. Like, as he becomes more of the clown and he's less human, we do get to these crazier, more colorful stuff where we finally do end up in that, like, paintball area where it's super neon and bright.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably most likely a deliberate choice.
I think so because
neutering the colors because it's the real world and it's boring and it's mundane, and then the clown crazy persona comes out and it's all bright and colorful.
It all unravels itself throughout. And I actually like the design of what the clown or clone looks like when you see it as its like demonic form.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. It's one of those films that, you know, I wanted to watch it before It came out. Because I was like, you know what, I'm getting this, you know, when
in the clown phase,
I'm in the clown phase, and I watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space again, which I love. That classic. That movie's amazing. But I was like, yeah, I wanna watch this movie Clown. You know, I've heard so much about it. John Watts just did Spider-Man. I saw that. I'm like, man, this is so good. I want to see, you know, what he started with. A lot of these big directors now, the ones that are going in and doing the Marvel stuff and doing these superhero films or big, you know, blockbuster films started in horror.
In a weird way, yeah. We have the Doctor Strange director having done Insidious, Scott Derrickson, I believe. Yeah.
No. He did Sinister.
No, he did Sinister. Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, Scott Derrickson.
And more or less, like, independent, small-time directors giving these massive budgets for these, like, the newest director for Thor. Like, Taika Waititi. He did, like, small, like What We Do in the Shadows, and
Eagle versus Shark,
yeah. Like small, like comedies and stuff. And now he's given the keys to these giant franchises, and like John Watts. Like, we have this guy that, like, seemingly didn't come from much. Like, he wasn't exactly like the high end director that they wanted, but they all show quite a bit of creative flair that's very unique to them.
Well, I mean, and this has this. The editing and the way everything's put together in this film, in Clown, is very... There are moments that just remind me of a lot of different films, but in such a good way, in a refreshing way. Like, the jump to the title sequence right away for Clown reminded me a lot of Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah,
It was very jarring for what they were trying to...
It wasn't exactly a cold open. It was more of just like a...
Slam in your face.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're like, okay, cool. What am I getting into? This is interesting. And by the time we get to that moment with the kid, the saw blade and stuff,
right,
where it's just kind of like, yep, it's going all out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a bunch of dead kids in this. This clown will get what it needs to get done. Like, it's not going to be it needs to kill people and no one ever dies because someone has to stop it beforehand.
Yeah.
The only problem that I had with this film, it's a problem that I have with a lot of horror films, the resolution.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for that.
Peter Stormare's character, I thought was great. Like,
I mean,
having
first
him
of
in
all,
there.
Let's just say Peter Stormare is an amazing actor.
He's a fantastic actor, and I think having him in this, and especially like how it happened. I mean, Jesus Christ! Like, his character throughout just gets like repeatedly just brutalized.
Oh yeah, the screws are put to him in a big way.
Yeah, the jaw wired shut and everything from the crash and all that shit. Like, but he's also trying to kill this guy right away. Like, there are other ways for him to potentially get the suit
right
off,
yeah,
because wasn't he the one who wore it and his brother got it
I believe so. Yeah.
One of them
it was
yeah. Yeah, he wore it and then his brother got it off of him. And I was like, well, that's obviously, you could still get this thing off of this guy, but because
you're alive.
Yeah, because he goes straight for the fucking decapitation, and it's like, well, of course this shit's gonna go down for you anyway.
Right. It's an ending that felt like bleak, just for the sake of being bleak.
Yeah, I mean,
in a weird way.
Before that, I think when we finally get down to it, and Stormare's character has kind of been, oh no, he's the bad guy, or not the bad guy. But they kind of are like, oh, this guy may have been, the cops get him or whatever, and, you know, we're now dealing with just the wife and the main guy who's now the clown. He's going after his kid. That final sequence that led to his decapitation finally, which we've obviously been leading to this entire time, like, it just ended.
Yeah.
It was just over. Like, it would seem way more difficult to decapitate him with the way that it happened in this.
Yeah, in all of the tension that led up to these final moments of the movie, I feel like it felt too quick. There was no, moment.
Every time Stormare tried to decapitate him, any of those would have looked cooler, I think, than how this actually went down, how it finally played out.
Sure, and maybe that was the point? I guess, like, less elaborate.
Part of me wanted to figure out how they could get this guy back to normal.
Sure.
And then instead it was just kind of
just
like...
just like, well, we gotta end this.
Yeah, it just...
I mean, to be fair, like, the movie didn't seem too hopeful going, like, as you went along.
Yeah.
Like, there I doubt that there would be this much of a redemption for that character that that character would have wanted had it, had he actually gone back to a normal... Like, you don't go back to a normal life.
I mean, but we
could
have had that. So we could have had that struggle that goes between there a little more. It just kind of felt a little... With everything that led up to what we got to,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it was a slight bit of a letdown.
Yes, no, and I agree. But, like, upon reflection, I feel like that ending, in a weird way, would have been what that character wanted. In a weird,
it just,
like,
it felt too American Werewolf in London.
Sure.
It's like,
yeah,
okay, and character dies, end of movie. Like, there's no real resolution
right.
other
yeah,
than
right.
that.
Yeah, no, the fact that there was no resolution for, like, everything
any
that
other,
had happened.
Any other
yeah.
character in the film, mm-hmm. they're just kind of like...
It literally cuts and runs.
yeah. And I find that to be one of those things where it almost seems that when someone's writing a script, they're kind of like, oh, well, I've gotten to the... And shit, I don't know how to... You know, let's just say the end.
Cut.
Roll credits, like... there doesn't really need to be a... We could just...
Yeah, it doesn't stick any sort of landing that you want.
Yeah.
Really. It's very abrupt and very matter of fact, I guess.
yeah.
And it doesn't exactly leave the best taste in your mouth afterwards because of all of the... Like, because again, you have so much energy and such, like, enthusiasm
yep.
in this movie for a resounding resolution to cap this off, but then again it just kind of, like, again ends flat.
Yeah,
that was a bit of a letdown. I think overall it got, like, that's kind of why I'm like, I tried to parse meaning as to why it ended the way it did, only to think that, like, he would have wanted it this way, but then
yeah.
again, like, I would have wanted at least another 5 minutes to just be like, hey, here's the fallout from this.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, and then, like, seeing I think the part that really was just kind of like, oh, man, so the suit just dissolves off and once it's dead. Was there no other way to figure out how to get that?
After all the things we've tried.
And it,
like,
just dissolves off him, so his kid's just like, oh, that's my dad's head, and he's now, but we could, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, kids are very matter-of-fact about that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that part was, like, a big letdown. But granted, when you did see the remains of what he did, especially to that bully, his son's bully.
Right, yeah.
Which was great. I'm so glad that was,
like... Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, again, I don't know where you come back from, like, after that is resolved.
You don't? I mean, because he ate the kids and kept, like, vomiting up their bones and shit like
sure.
that. Like,
yeah, it's pretty unredemptive for anybody.
No one could really live from that. But, you know, you're also talking about, you know, the guy had a family, a wife and kids. And then the other jarring part to me was, you know, we go from focusing on him, and this is almost the same thing in, like, Cronenberg's The Fly, is that
right.
your protagonist is there for a while. And then once they fully get taken over by this entity or whatever it is that kind of just takes over their mental facilities, then we switch our protagonist, basically. And the
sure.
protagonist is now really the wife, even though
that's,
she...
Yeah, exactly. That's and, what I would have... Yeah. Because I would have thought, like, because when I overthink what this film could have been about, it could have been about, like, divorce in a weird way. That, like, the husband wasn't there that much to begin with, but he still cared, but work really took over for him.
Yeah.
And that one thing that he wanted to make good for his son ended up consuming him anyway, like most things did.
Right.
And, like, it ends up destroying everything you love in a weird way.
Yeah.
But, like, again, yeah. like, I tried to find that. I dug for that rather than it kind of being... about that, because if we had been like, okay, this is not the wife's tale, this is having to, like, move away from all of this
yeah.
and, like, find something to move past, like, that would have been cool. I feel like that would have been, like, a bit more of a again, like, satisfying ending to find some sort of solace in all of this.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting... It's an interesting film. I enjoyed it a lot, though, I will say that. All in all, despite Despite the slight lackluster ending, I still think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's the type of horror that I want to see more of. It just due to the fact that it doesn't really pull any punches.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
And it's definitely what could have been a very simply done basic film that no one would ever really think twice about, I think has enough creative influence in it where it makes it stand out from a lot of other films.
It very much does have personality, and yeah. I don't mean that in jest. Like I actually...
No, it really, it has great personality with it. I mean, definitely like some of the editing techniques in there, some of the effects, all, I mean, it really...
It's sometimes funny, like when
oh,
it
there's
wants
some
to be.
Really fucking funny
yeah,
moments
like,
in that movie.
Yeah, and like it doesn't... Maybe it doesn't take itself too seriously, but like when it does, like, or when it doesn't, I'm like, oh wow, oh, we can be funny yeah. here. Like this is a, like...
Yeah, horror doesn't have to necessarily be grim and gritty 24/7. And
right. You know, there can
actually,
be a balance without being,
yeah.
without it being like hokey and
yeah.
again, camp.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's good. Obviously, like this is a great director, like trying to flex in different genres, and he's done quite a bit in
yeah.
different things. Like the thriller of Cop Car to the like fun family action adventure of Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
He can do quite a bit. He can wear many hats. And I'm glad Spider-Man didn't end the way that this did, but
yeah.
But I'm excited to see what he does now that he has all of this clout under his belt for Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I doubt he's going to be returning back to indie stuff anytime soon, but
well, I feel like that's almost the only reason this got released in the US in general
is because he was coming off of
because he came off Cop Car and then got tapped to do
Spider-Man,
and I feel like that's the only reason it came to the U.S.
because he's like, oh, this guy's got some clout now. We got to put out some. Of
I
his
mean,
movies.
I'm looking at this stuff. So he directed the short film of Clown, which was only like mm-hmm. a 2-minute teaser trailer or something,
right?
Kind of like to as a promotional trailer thing. Then he filmed it in winter of 2012. It's
almost
up,
4 years.
It took 3.5 years for it to finally. Come to a limited theatrical release and video on demand. It was June 17th, 2016, 3.5 years after they filmed.
Right.
Which is insane. And it only started getting attention from reviewers in 2016.
Because he was tapped for Spider-Man.
Well, no, because it had gone to a bunch of other countries by this point.
Oh,
it had gone to a ton of festivals, been released in, I think, 2014 in a ton of other countries,
mm-hmm.
and was... getting like good reviews and everything,
yeah.
and then finally they're like, "Yeah, we'll release it to the U.S." Okay,
here
but
it is.
It's a Canadian film too,
sure,
so it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
going to get like as much major hype behind it as if it were made in the U.S. But honestly, when you have a film like this that does get made with these film funds, it's why you can get away with a film like Clown,
right?
Like trying to do Clown in the U.S. with getting you number one would have to raise all the money yourself because you probably wouldn't get any funding from the national lottery because they don't
right.
really do that here the way they do that in Canada,
yeah,
New Zealand,
or another, yeah,
because
national lotteries, like, they're just like, okay, you are awarded it,
yeah.
for your creative endeavor,
yeah,
and just have at it,
yeah,
like,
and that's why
there's no strings attached to this money.
Well, that's why you see a lot of really awesome stuff come out, and you
yeah.
see a lot of really low budget horror that you don't see come out of the U.S. You see it come out of different countries,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Because if it's either not cheap or can't make money, it's not worth it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, a lot of the really cool ideas that do get made in the U.S., you can tell that just the quality just isn't there most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Or it's been workshopped and, you know, trial by committee sort of decision.
Yeah, and then it's been chopped down into something that barely resembles what it originally was meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that, like, for the problems that I would have with it, I'm glad that this movie is what it is and not something else.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a lot worse.
Well, I remember, I mean, when I first heard of it, I was like, this just sounds really stupid.
I mean, yeah, on paper, it does sound really stupid.
On paper, it sounds terrible. And I was just like, where the hell is this film going to go? Because I honestly thought the clown suit was going to come in way later into play.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, I got to wait through all this basic bullshit to finally get to what actually matters. And they're like, nah, man, here's your story right away. We
yeah.
delved right into it. And it actually kind of has that same feel as when we were just talking about Splinter earlier, that, like, short story novella feel. And I kind of feel like that's where horror is headed into. Not these grand scope films, but these smaller individual tales of terror. Like, hey, someone wrote a giant anthology of stuff, and it's kind of like, let's just pull these individual stories.
And let's not do found footage anthologies like VHS again. But
and they're doing original stuff, too, instead of like going back to the well and being like, this is based on H.P. Lovecraft, or this is based on Edgar Allan Poe. And while I appreciate those adaptations, a lot of the more recent ones are just not good.
No,
or they're like, it's loosely based on it. And it's like, no, just come up with your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's very weird and kind of like, does this fit? It's, yeah, sure. If your storytelling is effective, you can have any type of story or any type of horror creature or whatever. And this, it's a clown, like, out of all things.
Yeah. And like, as cliche in horror films as a clown cliche. Can be.
And it's straight up just called Clown.
Like, not even trying to market yourself or stand out. Like,
just, no, you're straight up just like, hey man,
let this get lost this in the waves.
It's kind of like John Watts was like, I'm going to make what will now be, like, other than It, the clown film for horror.
And what am I going to call it?
I know, that's what exactly. It's like, it's straight up clown.
Yeah.
That's like someone coming up with a movie calling it, like, serial killer or slasher or, you know, one of those. Or, like, you better have a good one.
Yeah.
It better be
or
good.
Or just calling it Freddy Krueger. Like, yeah. Calling it Jason. That's it. But, yeah, no, I would say that if you want to get a little weird, maybe, with horror, this is recommendable.
Yeah, if you liked It, if you like clown horror films in general, see this film. You won't be disappointed. I really enjoyed it. I thought I would be disappointed just from even watching the trailer and hearing about it over time. Yeah. I was just kind of like, I don't know if I want to see it. Nothing against Eli Roth. I like Eli Roth, but sometimes, like, when it's produced or from producer Eli Roth...
Yeah, I'd take that with, like,
I always take that with a grain of salt, because a lot of the time it's, like, from executive producer Sam Raimi, from executive producer...
And which
it's
means, like, nothing.
No, it means nothing at all. It's like, okay, great, they produced it. What else did they... Can the director actually handle what they're, you know,
exactly.
the work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is it a good team of people working together... to put out a film? The answer for this, yes.
Yeah.
And that's why, okay, from executive producer Eli Roth. I mean, shit, do you remember in the 90s, from producer Wes Craven?
Oh,
and it was
God.
All these straight-to-video garbage films, like, I think The Outpost or something like that.
Jeez.
All these really just awful films that were straight-to-DVD, or they would appear on, like, HBO or Showtime or Cinemax or whatever, like, late at night, and... It's like Wes Craven's Mind Ripper. That's what one of them was. I'm like, this movie, I think it was Mind Ripper, I think it was later called The Outpost.
Mm-hmm.
Mind Ripper sucked. It was awful. But it was like, I watched it because it was a Wes Craven Presents type thing.
Yeah, no, and that's really all that it was. It's marketing to add on to this. But
I was leery with this because I'm like, oh God, is it going to be one of those?
What's Eli Roth up to now? What did he throw his money behind now?
Right.
But no, I honestly, I feel like the marketing pull for me for this is that, like, hey, see what the guy who directed Spider-Man Homecoming did before this.
That's
like that to me is more interesting.
That's
and
kind of the way of getting people into some of these films is when the director does make it big or
their
gets,
back catalog
like, that
is going to be dug up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if their back catalog is some quality horror, people are really going to be all over that. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to want the director to go back to their roots, which is usually what I always do anyway, because I look at all these classic horror directors who now some of them are you know, major players in the Hollywood scene and not doing horror anymore.
Right.
And, you know, some of their stuff is still great. Some of theirs, you can definitely see they've taken a nosedive. I want to see most of them, if not all, go back to their roots and start, you know, cranking out some of the horror that made them, you know, who they are.
And maybe we will see that.
Yeah.
Hopefully the hunger is real to go back to your roots.
Man, I hope so. I really do. Yeah. But on that note, yeah, if you get a chance, see this film. I think it's still on Netflix right now. Go ahead and watch it. You'll have a good time.
It's worth a rental for sure. I would
say
it's worth a rental.
I mean, if you can watch it for free because of Netflix or whatever it's on, totally do that. Like, it's a solid film. But yeah, I think that will do it for us this week here on Oh the Horror. I'm Rob Holmes.
I'm Steve Allman.
And yeah, if you guys want to listen to us anymore, we are on Oh the Horror.
Libsyn.com. You can find us on iTunes as well as Stitcher and pretty much anywhere else you can download podcasts.
And occasionally we tweet.
We tweet sometimes.
We're gonna do play it
that,
more, guys. We're gonna
play that
more,
Twitter game.
We're gonna play that Twitter game a little more. We're gonna get into there and figure out that Twitterverse thing. But there will be some more content coming up from us very soon and some couple other surprises.
I think, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, thank you again so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
On Oh the Horror.
Horror. Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Horror. Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
Horror. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.